Oh, right. Welcome into the show, everybody. This is Pocket Parlay, your host, Kyle Pickens, here with the most, obviously. Today is a very special day. Not only is it launch day, we have a very special guest in the house today. He has been around the world, known all over the place, has his own show already, so he gladly came and brought his energy, his knowledge, rugged good looks. It's hard to really keep focus over here with this guy looking across from me at the table here. So with further ado, let's bring in Mr. John Eastburn. I stand up right now, but I'm not wearing pants.
Thank you, Kyle. Happy to be here. Wow. It's hard to for any of your audience to make sure those claims are true without this being videoed, but I accept all the praise.
Video. Oh.
I know. Too much time for you to edit. It's just
they don't need to see what we're doing in here.
No.
As far as I'm concerned.
No, man. Thank you for being here. It's an honor. I'm pretty sure I'm not the right person, though, for this. I mean, first impressions are everything, and here you have... you want people to listen to this more than one episode, right?
Well, I mean, one is all I get right out the gate, so...
I don't know. I don't know how you lose subscribers.
Yeah, we really have nothing to lose.
Can you go in the negative? You're like minus seven at the end of this, guaranteed. Yeah. No, but thank you, man. Good to see you. It's been a while, and happy to assist. I've already learned a lot. Your setup's much better than mine.
Well, it's
my company.
It's kind of a building block, right? Like, that's where you guys are going next. Because how many followers do you guys have last time you did a podcast?
Two.
200
I don't know. It had a two in it.
2,000?
No. I think it was two.
No. It couldn't have been just me and somebody.
It was you and Anthony. We appreciate you guys so much.
Well, we're going to get into that. Let's not crack right into where you're at currently. We're going to go back.
It's probably more than that. I'd have to check with Nate, my business partner. He's dialed into that.
I saw 937, I think, on the old Instagram.
Yeah.
So
that could be it.
But no one knows what we're talking about yet because we haven't got to that.
Yeah, you're right. Lead the way.
So
lead the way.
We're going to take it back to what we're doing here anyways. Like what brought this on was our friendship has been, 20 years in the making, roughly?
Yeah.
Plus or minus. And I do remember the first day that we met. So do you? I know how we met too, but I know.
I remember.
A lot to ask.
I mean, second base, maybe.
Lights were on.
Yeah, I do remember. Vaguely.
Hands above the waist.
Vaguely.
Yeah, because it was freshman year, sophomore year. I think I was a freshman. I think you're a year older than me, so you were a sophomore.
Blossoming sophomore.
Yeah. Well, I met you through Larson is how I met you.
Yeah.
Which was through Lindsay.
Yes.
So took a lot of avenues to get to where we're at, but think about where it was and where it's at now is crazy.
Come a long way.
Yeah. But watching those basketball games, Triangle Lake, those were the times.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are fun. Yeah, and then coming into town and pretending like I knew how to skate, that was also pretty embarrassing.
I could pull out a picture. It's right over there. You and your Jesus boot with your beanie on.
Yeah.
That just stood out in my mind as like, we're all skateboarding. You're like, well, I can't even do anything now because I'm broken.
Yeah. 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 And in town life, you know, I mean, graduating class of 9 kids, 13, including foreign exchange students. But then you come to town. It's like, wow, there's a whole other concrete world.
What's weird about that is like, I was envious of your situation and maybe you are envious of mine. Like,
definitely not.
Definitely.
No, it wasn't. I just liked you.
We did have a selection of ladies that you did not have, but.
I guess. I mean, I can't even remember. Like back in high school days, I guess that was important, but.
I went to a couple of Triangle Lake dances, which were a lot different than the Willamette High school dances of like 400 or 500 people rather than 35, maybe.
I guess so. You did well out there. You did well.
Well, same with you. You and Zach come into town and you're like, who's your friends? I'm like, oh, these guys go to Triangle Lake. And everyone's like, where's that at?
Yeah.
They know the rock slides. I was like, you know, when you drive past the school, like to get to the rock slides, that's where it's at.
Anyhow, yeah. So we've known each other a long time. And
yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully that continues after this podcast. So
We're going to disown each other after this.
So what? Why am I here? What's going on here? I know we're recording, but what's Pocket Parlay about?
Pocket Parlay. Well,
Parlay.
So do you remember going to all
Pocket
those?
Parlay. Parlay. Is it Parlay or Parlay?
Parlay.
Okay, go ahead.
Remember going to all those Volaphonic shows?
I do.
And vaguely remember them, I'm sure, because we did have a good time. So there was a band that opened up for them once. It was called Pocket. And I go talk to Trevor, the lead singer of Volaphonics. I'm like, what does Pocket mean? I don't understand that. And he goes, well, Pocket is like when you're jamming and you just get into that groove and everything just like time kind of stops and everything just comes easy. And I was like, oh, okay. And then because I didn't like the band at first because I didn't understand it. So then like once he told me that, I went and listened. And I was like, there's no lyrics. They just, like the lead singer was a trombonist, right? So it was just a total jam band. I don't know if you're at that show. Is that Lucky?
I wasn't there. I definitely wasn't there. No. I remember though, like all the brass that was in Volaphonics though. I had been away for a while. I came back and then they had some brass there. And I thought that was pretty
Tomo,
cool.
They brought a saxophone player.
In, yeah.
And then when they switched over to Goldfoot, they brought in trumpets.
They
went all over the place. And a keyboard too, which is important.
Any woodwinds? Is there any woodwinds in there?
I think they lost the saxophone. No, they had like an alto and a tenor, I think. Which you got to have for the magic.
Bass clarinet? no room for a bass clarinet?
Kenny G.
Those guys are so
good.
No bass clarinet action. Jeez. Who do they think
stage
they
isn't
are?
Big enough to play in those dive bars, dude. It's like the size of this room.
No, they were really good, though.
So long story short.
They still probably are. I just haven't kept in touch.
Yeah, they haven't been doing much, actually, unfortunately. But so, yeah, that was kind of the idea for Pocket, because I feel like if you get, I've had conversations, you and I especially have those where you're like, God, I wish I could remember like what we were talking about, because it was really good and I got great value from it. So I would like to get more of that back. But unfortunately, time moves on, and that was like a conversation we had like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which felt like yesterday.
So right.
This is the capture. I mean, I don't want to say I don't care about the numbers or anything. I mean, obviously I would like it to do well, but ultimately I'll have a bank of people that I respect or people I love, or even people maybe I don't know and I get to know over this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something tangible to hold on to.
Sure.
And in the last year, right before the whole COVID thing started, I lost a classmate to suicide, and I felt like...
Mm.
I felt like there was something, I should do something. You know, that hopeless feeling you get when something that you felt like you could have done, like if I would have called him, he would have texted him, could have changed something. Probably, it might have not have, whatever, but it still hurts to think like, what if? So this is like a way to help people just kind of think about it. And like, if someone's talking here and they're telling their story and it resonates with somebody else, and then they contact you without involving me at all, then I feel like I did my job. Like that was like, oh man, John, I mean, I know John, and that sounds like that's hurting. So I'm going to reach out, and that could, you know, change your path kind of, I don't know.
No, that's cool, man. You think about, I don't listen to a whole lot of podcasts, very few, but when you're able to take a nugget out of something, you know, from one of them. I mean, you know, it's not every time you listen, but I just recently started listening to more. I mean, you can listen to so much music in the shop, which I'm sure we'll get to later, but I'm looking forward to listening to this one, not mine in particular, but but you extrapolate that out. You can get some people on here that are going to be way smarter than me, way smarter, way more interesting to listen to.
But not more entertaining.
I don't know, man. I don't know. This is a bad combination, because you and I are such good buddies. You know, we could, lots of inside jokes, a lot of sophomoric humor. Definitely not telling my folks that, you know, the name of your podcast. I don't want them to listen to this.
Well, my mom's already subscribed, so it doesn't matter.
Gosh.
There's no use in hiding who you truly are.
How was Sylvia?
Well, I'm not going to lie, but maybe one of those questions is from her on that phone.
She would. She would. You know what? I'm looking forward to it.
She loved you. And now that I'm a parent and you're a parent, if somebody brings somebody around of this caliber, you're going to be like, keep that one around.
Yeah.
You know, boy or girl, whatever.
Sure.
Like, you know, you just know when there's good friends, good people.
Yeah. I'm kind of scared now. I'm not scared. I welcome it.
Yeah. Well, you created quite the monster that we all enjoy. I know. So.
Well, you were a big part of that. Well, yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm happy for you. You're off to a great start. This studio, people can't see it, but it's high class.
Yeah. I used to do the DJ stuff, which I still do for the weddings and whatnot, but like I had a kind of like a big desk in here and it was all like paperwork. And cause when you're a business, which you know a little bit about, you got to have taxes and receipts and all this garbage. So I got rid of that desk. I actually gave it off to Clay. You remember Clay?
I do.
Yeah. He needed that for his towing business.
He's still doing that?
Oh, dude, he's killing it.
Yeah. See those trucks.
Dude.
I see those colored trucks all over the place.
Keep track of how many he has now. Yeah. So I hope to get him on
every here. Time I look for a ginger, but I never see one in there. So well, he's probably not even doing that.
He hired a guy that looked just like him, which was like, you fucking,
why would you do that?
How am I supposed to know? Like I wave and the guy's like looking at me like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, that's not Clay.
Oops. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is nice. This is nice. There's a little bit too much incense going off in here right now.
It's funny. I put out the incense and turned the Scentsy on because the burning wax is less of...
What's in the Scentsy right now?
Not the one I wanted, but this one I had. The other ones are on
order.
Is it
like coconut butter? That's what I'm picking up.
Well, it was like snow something. It's like wintery.
Snow job.
Snowberry.
Snow job. Snowberry.
So they make a leather one that smells like just like... Dudely, like it'd be like your office where you're drinking your whiskey on the rocks or straight. Like, I just don't have it. I'm out because I burned them all uselessly for myself. Selfish.
Yeah.
If I would have known we were getting to this, then I probably would have.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Big tangent. Sorry out there, listeners. We'll move this on.
No,
enough
no.
catching up. Well, part of the problem is we haven't seen each other in a long time. So,
and when we do, it's always when I'm working at a wedding that you've gotten me.
Or a typically. Quick golf sesh.
Yeah, and you're over in the woods and I'm in the middle of the fairway trying to...
Where the frick is my... Mulligan. I'm just going to drop right here.
John, just hit from mine so we don't have to go find you.
Yeah. No, okay. Sorry. Enough catching up. Okay, sorry, well, sorry to put you guys...
Right. Well, so that brings us... Let's just kind of fast forward through all that. I did want to say one thing when I have you live and in person.
They're not implants, if that's what you're going to ask.
I bench 255.
And they're real. Sorry.
Now you got me distracted.
I know.
So
all night.
Yeah. Yeah. We got all night. Keep it going. part of what I'm trying to do is get back to the people that helped kind of make a difference in my life as well. So I was going through some stuff when I was younger and cycling through some roommates and stuff. And I asked you just on a whim, hey man, like you want to come live with me? Cause you were going through your own stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew you owned a house. So I was like, well, stupid to ask somebody that owns their own place to come live with me in town when you lived out in, what is it?
Monroe.
Yeah. I was going to say Mercola, different
yeah.
M.
No, yeah.
And I just threw it out there and you took me up on it. I was like, no way. You rented out your house. You live with me. That helped me like personally and financially, which I really appreciated, but we had some good times in that place. And,
yeah.
I mean, not that we can talk about on here because...
No, we talk about a lot of it, but I mean, it's... I don't know how much people can be surprised, you know? I mean, who doesn't love a good Monopoly game? Every week, Monopoly.
That's what it was. Monopoly. Yep.
No.
Soda water.
Yeah, no, I'm just, you know... No, in all seriousness, that was beneficial for both of us, so...
I kind of thought about that after the fact. I'm like, well, it helped me a lot. But I think at the same time, like you living out there by yourself and working, I mean, not too far away, like, mm-hmm. like you kind of stayed in your own lane and never really got a chance to get out and do anything. So I just want to say thank you for that. It meant a lot.
I would like to reciprocate and say thank you. It meant a lot.
that duplex.
I wish this table wasn't so wide. I feel
like there's so much hugs, so many
some
wires.
Hugs are involved.
Yeah. Microphones in the way.
No, it was in its unique way. I think it was a blessing for both of us. So
yeah, we'll go with that. Which goes into the Ball of Phonics, which goes into the music we used to go to, which mm-hmm. brings me back to the like don't you miss some live music?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had tickets for me, Ryan Thompson, and Mike Cheek to go to the Floater show, and it was like in March.
Good crew.
Yeah, it was going to be a killer night. Like, I was like, dude, we're going to go get some beers, have a burger before we go. Like, yeah, it's going to be perfect. COVID it.
Squashed it.
Yeah, they canceled it. And I was just like, because you can see it happening in China. And I was like, no. And they're like, this kind of like each week it just got worse and worse. And then they called and said, yeah, we're not doing the show. It's like,
bummer. They haven't done one since, probably.
No.
Yeah.
I think they got in with some people and did like one of those Zoom live shows, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna pay. I think they wanted like $15 to $20 to watch it on your computer, and I was like, no way. I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
which I mean, I know it's to support the artist, so I kind of get that point, but I was just like, it's not the same. I was like, I'll just watch your YouTube videos of you guys playing somewhere.
Right
whatever.
So were they like jamming like in their own place, or was it actually at a venue and then they were getting, that was getting videoed and that was getting
broadcasted? I think it would have had to have been like, they had like access to like a stage somewhere and then it was just getting double videoed probably. Huh. I didn't watch it. I don't know. I didn't.
That's a tough situation for all, you think of all those artists out there that, I mean, they, man,
well,
definitely affected.
At the time, I thought it was going to be temporary, right? Like here we are,
yeah,
11 months now. And nothing's really any different, if worse.
Yeah, that's why. I guess the last time we talked about them, I went and YouTubed them.
Yeah.
And I was just surprised of, you know, there's a ton of value in that, obviously, if you're an artist or anything, any kind of entrepreneur. But there just wasn't a whole lot of activity on there. So I didn't even know if they were actually together still.
So they lost their drummer. I tried to find and look around.
The brother?
Oh, are you talking Volophonics or
Fodder? Volophonics.
Well, they lost their drummer too. Yeah. So Blake.
Oh, okay. Blake yeah.
Again, same thing as Floater. Floater,
sorry.
Pete, their drummer.
Switch gears on you there.
No, same thing. I mean, exactly the same story as far as I can tell, but I couldn't find a story on either one of them. Like, Pete just disappeared, and then Blake just split up, and then the rest of the crew moved up to Portland, and Blake stayed down here and then kind of moseyed around, and he lives down in California now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I never really got the true story of what happened to either one of them. Like, I mean, probably a difference in how they do their business, maybe like an artist feud of some sort. I kind of felt like it wasn't like a great parting for either one of them, but being no one's talking about it, it's probably not.
Gotcha.
That's one of my goals, is to see if I could get Blake on here. And
the ratings skyrocket. See, he's an interesting cat.
He is.
Well, there's a couple of them. I mean, they all are, really. I didn't get to know him as well as you did, but I mean, any of those guys.
Yeah.
You got a musician. I mean, I can play a couple instruments.
You played about as much as I played, dude.
Yeah.
You'd be good. So that brings us, let's just fast forward it all the way up into where we're at.
Yeah.
Because there's a story with you that I don't know much about, and I'm very curious to hear how we got to where we're at, because you've had pretty solid job working at Bowtech.
Okay.
A family.
Mm-hmm.
One kid at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which you got two. Congratulations.
That I know of. Yes. No, I'm kidding. Of course. Yes.
Sid, we apologize.
Yeah. No, she's... I already told her when I was leaving the house. I was like, okay, it's Kyle. We're going to cut it up a little bit. I'm not going to be very serious.
She's like, I'm probably not going to listen.
Super sarcastic, everybody, by the way. Not as much of a... Well, anyhow.
So, I mean... What brought you to leaving that security, which I admire, by the way, because I like my job, but there's things I would like to go do, but that leap is huge. That's what I'm getting at. Like,
yeah, well, the short answer is I was asked to leave. So that's why I left that security.
The end.
John, please kindly leave.
This is your last paycheck. Because you were there for...
God, it's so funny when that look... At the time, I was so upset, but it's funny to think about it now.
Sure.
You know, but...
15 years?
Well, it kind of came out of the blue. I didn't see it coming, obviously. I wasn't the only person to get let go that particular day. Big business, kind of a high view of this deal is, private equity company purchased. This is any secret. This is public knowledge, so I don't mind talking about it. But, private equity group bought the company, and one of the things certain private equities do, it's just like you or I buying a house, flipping a house.
Sure.
You know, you got to, you know, balance sheet, you got to make the company or house, you know, more valuable. Mm-hmm. So one way you do that is you fix the windows, you put in new floors, you know, to boost the, you know, boost the value of the property. And in businesses, sometimes, unfortunately, you cut overhead. So sometimes that's with people and that's just the reality of it. And I think there was 8 people that got let go that day that I did. But I mean,
that fateful day,
8 or 9. I mean, it's a pretty common thing at the time. You know, I was like, gosh, this sucks, but this happens every day in business. And I think like in a, like a worldview of it, it's not a huge, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
But how
many years did you have?
I was there for 10 years.
Yeah.
I did a lot of stuff. I was in production at one point, worked in the warranty department, and then
they didn't give you any like option to like
sales
step and, down into that, because you were in sales at the end.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Not at that point. It wouldn't have been.
Yeah, you would have been bitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's not
right. Disgruntled employee back there assembling bows.
But it was a great place to work. Met a lot of great people, learned a ton, and
it's
helping me in my current.
I'd say it was a great springboard into what you are in now. But where did, so like time frame wise, like, okay, that day gone from that. And then you go into what you're into now. Like where, I mean, what was the thought process into that? Like, did you sit there and like cry in your spilt milk or like,
I think I did actually not cried, but I was, you know, I think it's natural to feel kind of angry, you know, after something, or, you know, it's like, why me? A little bit of a victim card, not going to lie there.
Oh, yeah.
That got played for about a week or two. One of the really tough things is it came as a surprise, obviously, to all of the, you know, the people I was doing business with. So for the next 3 months, I was talking to customers that were still in the industry, my customers.
Right. Because you had
at this point, friends and acquaintances, you know,
for sure.
And it's you tell the same story every time you're on the phone, because they like, what happened? Why did they do this? You know, they're upset at the company, and you just kind of, it's, you just gotta let them know, hey man, it's just kind of the way it is. You still have some emotional ties to the company. Like Bowtech was a great brand, local company. There's a lot of people you love that still work there. Right. You don't want to do any damage there. So you're still kind of repairing any bridges that potentially will get burnt. Like I had some dealers say like, I'm freaking canceling my dealership.
Oh, wow.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Think about this. That's not smart. I'm like, there's a valuable brand. Yeah. You sell, you know, $100,000 of this equipment for, you know, a year. Like, don't do that. That's ridiculous. And it was just them being emotional, but that, so getting back, you have that conversation like, you know, 50 times over the next 2 months, and you do your best to be, you know,
sure,
you know, not to, you don't want to hurt anybody that's still working there that you love. And so, and it's still a good company, but, and they make good products.
Well,
but
yeah,
this, the fact is, I mean, yeah, that's, those are tough times. So to get back to your, to answer your question, it was probably 2-3 weeks, maybe a month, where I was still trying to decide what to do. I had a couple job offers out of the gate, you know, from in the industry, and I just didn't know if I wanted to go back into that right away. And and then my brain started thinking like, I don't know if I want to work for the man again.
Yeah, you know? I hear that.
And long story short, a couple guys I used to work with at Bowtech that weren't there either, you know, we had some ongoing things, some podcasts going just kind of for fun, and it turned into a clothing business, and now we're printing clothes, not just for ourselves, but for other people, and we're off and running. So,
well, what wasn't it kind of strange that you guys kind of put the podcast before the brand?
Like, oh yeah.
Like, I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, like, I know you guys are kind of...
Oh, we've made a lot of mistakes. Lots of mistakes, buddy. Still are. I mean, we're learning from them, but yeah.
I found it very interesting. I was just like, well, the podcast was fun, and I know you guys were just had some extra time, so it's like, we get together and do this is actually really fun, and you get to see each other, so it's like,
yeah,
best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So that actually brings me up to...
Oh, do you want to interject here?
Yeah, we have a listener question that kind of falls in line with where we're at right now. So let's...
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you want to hear it?
Well, yeah. No, I'm going to. Yes, go, please. Is this. Wait.
Hey,
is this
John. Your mom's? Emily Little John here.
Wait. Back
I
up.
Hope I hope you're
hear
doing
it.
Well.
Sorry.
Hey, John. Emily Little John here. I hope you're doing well. Word on the street is you have a new clothing line. I always remember you wearing a lot of camo in high school. Can you tell me more about your new clothing line?
Right there. We're at the clothing line. Emily Little John. Remember Emily Gardner?
Ah, okay.
She's Little John now, which is funny because I was like, oh,
well, that
John
threw me because Emily, and I thought, okay, at first I thought it was Gardner.
Yeah.
But then I thought she was messing with me.
Yeah, the laughing and talking at the same time gave it away.
Yes. Yes.
No one does it better than Emily.
Yeah, and even she always flirted with me a lot, knowing that she's going to listen to this. And she even did in that question. So no surprise there, Emily. Thank you for the question, though. I don't think I wore all. I didn't wear that much camo, did I? Jeez. Did I wear a lot?
Yeah.
That old mossy oak.
It was a little extensive.
Was it?
Man. Especially, you got to think, man, like we're like the city valley people and you country folk come in here. And
all right.
Like,
player question again. I was sorry. I'm going to have to hear that again.
One more time.
Hey, John. Emily Little John here. I hope you're doing well. Word on the street is you have a new clothing line. I always remember you wearing a lot of camo in high school. Can you tell me more about your new clothing line?
I wish she was more sincere in this question.
She probably sees your grin.
I know. Emily, I'm just kidding. Thank you for the question. So, it's kind of a couple-headed monster here. The hunting fishing brand. So we got Blacktail Chrome, excuse me, that's our fishing line. We have elk and deer stuff. So our elk would be Royal Six, our deer stuff would be called Alpha Buck. There's a lot of brands underneath this umbrella of Praying Man, and that is spelled PREYINGMAN, and that's www.prayingman.com, obviously. And there's a lot of just kind of lifestyle gear. It's not camo. That's the thing. Like you want to be able to wear something that's not camo casually, you know, out on the town, you know? And I guess, you know, thank you for the constructive criticism. There's many like you.
You've graduated since then.
So now it is more stylish, I guess, you know, casual wear that, you know, just the outdoors person could wear.
You know. Right. It's like you want people to know, like, yeah, I kill stuff on the weekends.
No, it's not even that. It's, you know, there's some cool designs on there. And I didn't realize that camo put people off so much.
I don't know if it put them off. So. I think it caught their eye. Like it obviously stuck with people.
That guy's
that
a redneck.
Was a very good question. I was very impressed with that when I
was.
I was like, that
it
is
was good.
Yeah,
it was good. I don't know. Hopefully I answered that. If not, I'll come back again. You could throw another one at me
or, you know, just go over to Praying Man and communicate with you over there, or maybe buy
there
a
you
shirt.
Go.
Or I mean, I don't know if her husband hunts, but you got something for everybody.
Last name
there.
Little John.
It is Little John. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
one of my favorite movies, Robin Hood. Actually, that's probably an old joke though. That I don't know that guy, but he probably heard that. He had to have.
Maybe. I don't know.
Robin of Locksley. I don't know. Anyhow,
no, God rest.
I like
Sean
that.
Connery's
I like
soul,
that.
Too.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah,
I like that name. All right. Thank you, Emily. Great to hear from you.
And then we can just do listener.
Are you just going to like one after the other?
Well, we got listener questions here, John.
Okay.
You're big deal. So.
But they haven't heard it yet. So how is it a listener question?
Because it's called putting out feelers. A week earlier, I was building you up that you were coming on the show.
Great.
Like the John Eastburn.
I'm letting a lot of people down right now. That's what's happening.
Well, if I get a handful of listeners out of this, then I'm going to call it a good deal. You want to hear the one that I haven't heard because it came across like as the show is starting. So I'm
sure.
Kind of curious to see where that's going to go.
Okay. Yes, please.
Hey, Kyle, this is your mom and dad. We were just trying to figure this out, or I'm trying to figure it out, how to listen to you speaking with John, your first person that you're interviewing.
I love your parents, by the way.
Don't know how to
They're
do it.
Good people.
So hopefully this will get through. We just wanted to tell John hi and hope everything's going well for you.
And I miss your folks.
Didn't really have any specific questions. Just wanted to say hi, John. Take care.
Hey, John.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Scotty.
That's all you're going to get from him. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh.
Ah, salt of the earth right there. Good people. Miss you guys. Thank you for the question. Love you a long time.
Which I'm happy they did that because, you know, my follow-up was going to ask, like, how are your parents doing? Like, because your parents were a big part of my life as well as mine were for you. So, and we always ask each other that. So that was really cool to be able to, they can talk to you. I don't need to do it for you. No longer the conduit.
Right, right. It means more too, like hearing their voices and stuff. Like they do it a lot better than you do.
You hit the nail on the head. That's the whole point of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Creating that feeling of loveliness.
My folks are great, by the way. I'll have to have them.
Yeah,
I'll have to have them call you.
We're gonna do the old traditional. Before the show, you were talking about you were out at your parents' house today, and then like you kind of shut her down. So I mean, you could finish the story. Like, how are they doing?
Great.
And you were doing what out there today?
I had the grandkids out there. Their grandkids.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah, and they love them. Finn. Oh. My oldest daughter, she's three. She's, I want to go to Papa and Grandma Eastburn.
How often do they get, like, are they helping you out with childcare?
No.
No? Not like that?
No. They offer all the time. Hey, if you ever need to watch the kids for a day or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But living that far away, I mean, that's not realistic. Mm-hmm.
They still live out at the same place?
Yes.
Good.
Yep. Eastburn Complex, out in Triangle Lake.
Yeah. You know, when I was doing a route out that way, I had a delivery and nobody was there. I was so sad. I just had to leave it on the porch. I was just like, dang it, darn it. Yeah. I was like, it was all locked up tighter than a drum. I was like, that means they're gone if it's all locked up out here. Cause,
well, you know, yeah. And, it was not this last time I was out there, but, it would have been around Christmas time, maybe just before Christmas time. We had a spare moment. This is like a total derail from this conversation.
But you
mentioned it being locked up. Nobody's home. I feel like I need to put a vibe out there that this place is under surveillance. Dad had like 5 trail cameras, some of them 15 feet up in a tree. We had to get a ladder to check. And we went through a handful of trail camera SD cards, thousands of pictures. And we got a couple people that they didn't recognize.
Oh.
But just like, this could just been, you know, bad picture or somebody walking up the driveway. But dude, cougars. We had about a dozen pictures of cougars. Domestic cats, bears down my parents' driveway, which is paved, by the way. This is 50 yards from the house.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that.
Yeah.
We had a picture of a cougar with a domestic cat in its mouth at 5:45 in the morning on December 7th. I'm just throwing that date out there, but it was something like
but
that.
But it was in the dark, though.
In the dark.
Wintertime, right.
6:30. No, it would have been 7 o'clock. A.M.
Yeah.
Picture of my mom walking to get the mail. We show that to mom. She's like, ooh, I don't like that. I'm like, well, you guys live out. I mean, it's kind of a reality check. You're out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, lots of wildlife out there.
Yeah, that's I never really thought about
Dad's got it. Dad's got it. Surveillance. So.
Yeah, so.
Just throwing that out there.
When are we taking those down?
They pick on them. The critters, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, whatever comes up the driveway that's not supposed to be there. I wouldn't recommend that.
They do okay. They do okay out there.
We do have one more question. Do you want to hear one more question?
Yes, please. Is Anthony?
Maybe.
It's got to be.
Here we go.
Hopefully it's G-rated.
Hey, Mr. Eastburn.
Yes.
Anthony here. My question to you is, we all know that you're an avid hunter. What is one of your most memorable times spent out in the hunting woods?
There you go. I almost feel like I could answer this because
that's a tough question.
I was around for a lot of those adventures you took, but
it's such a tough question.
It is. It's a loaded question, really.
Yeah.
Have to pick one.
Memorable time. Man, I don't know. I would say that, so you don't spend as much time in the woods as a lot of people do, and you don't have some really cool encounters with animals.
Sure.
You know, bears, cougars, whatever. Some of them dangerous. A lot of them are dangerous.
The ones you're not expecting when you're out looking for a different type.
Those definitely like immediately stick out, but the most memorable have been the times where I've been with family.
Yeah.
You know, dad, brother, best friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being able to witness, you know, nature doing its thing.
Sure.
And having some really cool encounters and not always ending in success, but the camaraderie and being with, this is a very generalized question, but there's a lot of them. But yeah. I would say the times where family was there,
yeah.
family and friends. So
I would say that would be something that I learned from you when I went hunting with you, went duck hunting. Like we kind of had some good days and we had some bad days, but
yeah.
going out and just laying out in the brush and just watching the sun come up,
taking breaking, a nap yeah. at like 9:30 because no birds are flying.
You taught me the value
so
of that.
So like, warm.
Well, buddy, just lay on down and close your eyes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And never had the best nap of my life. Still right? remember that to this day.
Fresh like, air.
Woke up with the sun on my face because we went to bed, fell asleep when the sun wasn't even up yet.
Right.
Like, oh, crap. There might be ducks flying.
Yeah. No, those are definitely good times. I mean, you could name, you know, a handful of stories where you know, you killed a big animal or whatever and put a bunch of, you know, nice organic meat on the table for the family. You know, obviously that's
feeding the family.
But yeah. I would have to say it's time with, you know, duck hunting, you know, napping in a mud bank somewhere, something
no,
like
no,
that.
No, no, no. There's no mud banks where we were hunting, but that was primo. Like you go out to Fern Ditch and go hunting. That's garbage.
That's pretty nasty.
I refused to do after you took me hunting. I was like, I'm never going back out to that crap hole where you have to battle for a spot. And I was just like, no, not doing it.
Yeah. We should probably start doing that again.
That's early when the kid goes to sleep at 8 and don't know when they're waking up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, you got to have some kind of coverage there.
Well, and the other thing was, yeah, it's an early morning. That's getting
it's totally worth it though. Man, even if you don't kill anything. So on my way out to my folks today, I saw two guys set up, just off of Highway 36.
Yeah.
And,
where we used to go?
No, not out there. That's invitation only now.
Well, kind of supposedly was back then, but I felt like that was a
pretty... They locked it down.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah, it was getting too crazy.
Oh, yeah, dude, yeah, because there was a... I mean, yeah, you and I...
A lot of people just showing up without, you know, permission, and it got out of hand. But no, I saw somebody in Kirk Pond set up. They had a really nice looking spread, probably, I don't know, 6-8 dozen deeks. They had divers, puddle ducks, everything in there.
Jesus.
Yeah, they were intense.
Well, I heard the ducks were bad this year. It's just not too good. Because it hasn't been cold enough for them to migrate yet, so it's been pretty lackluster.
Yeah. I'll have to call my Ducks Unlimited representative and ask him, what the heck? Why am I paying you much money?
Yeah.
Where's my birds?
Are you guys supposed to flush them up here so we can shoot them?
No. Yeah, but no, I thought about that, and I was like, yeah, it was good times. We used to do that. You still got the shotgun?
Yeah, I got everything. I got a tote. I mean, I throw the tote and the gun and like ready to... Well, I have to go get the permits again.
Good friend of mine over in Lapine, Eastern Oregon, has been doing pretty good this year.
Really?
Yeah. So maybe their flight's a little different. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know where I heard that. It was on the radio or something. And they're just like, man.
You generally hear that from people that don't kill anything.
Probably true.
Oh, the ducks aren't here yet. Man, this weather, all the cliches, you know.
There's
no birds, but any time out in the duck blind is better than a day at work.
Probably like what, like I thought, I was like, hey, I got this nice duck call. I'm going to call him in. I started blowing on this duck call and John just looks over at me. He's like, stop, just stop. I'm like, dude, I'm calling the duck.
No, no,
like,
no,
no, no, no,
no, no, no, no.
You just sit there and get ready to shoot. I'll call him in. I was like, oh, okay. Squash.
Kudos to you for getting on that thing, but the time to learn how to call it, you know, on a duck call is not in the duck blind.
Yeah.
Generally. Especially when, I mean, you want to kill something.
You're like, you stop it. You just stop it now.
Well, I feel like we're a little hamstrung over here on the West Coast. We don't have as many opportunities, generally speaking, as some of the guys in the other bigger flyways. So
yeah, that's probably true.
You can't just blow crappy notes at ducks all day. That's right. We'll get the next flock.
I thought we were in a good spot. I was like, I feel good about this. Yeah. Okay, I'll switch over.
You could be on the X and you blow that, but you were blowing like nothing's coming in.
No, I'll switch over to the goose call. I'll get the geese in. Yeah. No, stop, stop. Almost basically just took my calls off my neck and said, I'm going to hold on to these for you.
I'm going to strangle you with these, this lanyard. No.
I was going to say, maybe the most memorable time of hunting would be obviously you haven't taken your daughter out yet, but like when you go to take your kid out hunting, I think that's going to be like the new version for you. Cause hunting with your dad's one way, but then you're going to be like your dad is to you kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can see that with my daughter.
Oh, that'll be a whole nother level. Yeah, for sure.
Like get her swinging a golf club and then I'm going to be like, whoa.
Yeah. And even my wife's avid.
Yeah, it's true.
She's very accomplished. And I mean,
she comes from a family that,
yeah, that whole family they get after it. And we've had some really good times with,
yeah,
serious with my business. Father-in-law and, you know,
the whole tribe,
her uncle.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I've seen the pictures. I've seen the benefits of your guys' working together for sure.
Yeah. But
well, I mean, if you break down the knowledge you guys have between like just you and then like where you learned it from, obviously like your dad and then mm-hmm. his dad. And then that's kind of what's cool about like hunting like that, which I feel like might be going to the wayside a little bit, but it's kind of like a lost art kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely could be.
Cause there's a lot of people that just like, I want organic meat. I'm gonna go out and kill it.
Doesn't work that easily. You know, that definitely does seem to be a growing crowd.
Do you see a lot?
I think with, you know, I don't think social media has necessarily helped that industry a whole bunch. A lot of people, I think, just want grip and grins.
Yeah. I remember you guys talking about that one of your episodes. It was like your guys is like the trophy kill is like what everybody's after.
There's no doubt that, I mean, you look at the analytics, you know, people posing with a harvested animal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just get more likes, more views. And I think that might be indicative of, you know, the that social media platform. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not saying that's what it's all about, but
sure.
I think that there's definitely a demographic that's what they're after, right. You know,
which is what I find funny about it, because by you starting this clothing line, you had to get social media.
I hate it.
You were so opposed to it.
I mean, all three of the business owners, none of us really enjoy the social media,
sure.
But it's a necessary evil.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you gotta, it's just part of it, part of the advertising. And Jake, he manages that, bless his heart. And I know he doesn't enjoy it, but
he does so good at it.
He's better at it than Nate and myself for sure.
Yeah.
He's more, you know, he's marketing. He has more of a marketing and like creative mind.
Right. Was Nate sales with you guys?
Nate's more like IT admin type responsibilities. Gotcha. Excuse me.
So Jake,
we all kind of share the hats, right, at time, but like generally day to day, that's kind of I'm more like production, you know, inventory, sure. Shipping, receiving. Jake does more marketing stuff. Nate's IT. We try to split the load the best we can with three guys. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you're doing a good job because
we're trying. We're growing. We have aspirations. And those guys are super talented dudes, so I'm just happy to be part of the crew.
That's part of your success is building a good team, which is how you're going to get to where you're going to go. So,
yeah, it's definitely those guys. They're toeing the line. I might be dragging them down.
I don't know, man. You tell me you'd be out printing in the shop till midnight. I mean, am I cutting into print time right now?
Like, we got orders to get out. We do.
I kind of thought about that.
So, small business. It seems like, so I've heard from multiple people that our, you know, time from the time an order is entered to the time we ship it, it's pretty dang good.
Yeah,
because I thought so. We are not actually stocking any product.
So it's like
have tons of blank garments, but we build the order. Part of the reason is we're still considered small. So we're stocking a ton of blank garments, but, you know, we have a lot of SKUs. We have a bunch of different designs. You guys should go on the website, www.pringman.com. Lots of websites, you know, lots of options out there. And
check it out on the gram.
Right, right. So we build everything to order.
That's crazy.
On consumer orders. So that's on the website. Now we do have a retailer base. So we're in about 7 or 8 retailers currently in the Northwest.
Oh, what stores can we go in?
G4 Archery, Bowtech Archery. Those would be our biggest partners right now.
G4.
G4, they're up in North Plains, up out of Portland.
Gotcha.
Very good partner. They're like a mini Cabela's, I guess, if you were to describe them, but the better. They have like all high-end products.
You mean Sportsman's?
Yeah, they're even higher. They're even
Cabela's.
They have really, really good stuff.
Don't get me started on that.
I know. So all I'm saying is like they have everything for the, you know, anybody that would be into the outdoors. They got rifles, they got archery, they got, you know, indoor range.
Oh, so that was two stores. Where are the other ones?
So we got we got Southern Oregon Archery, we have Top Pin Archery over in Central Oregon, Cascades over in Central Oregon. We have some dealers over in Ohio. Yeah, so we're spread out. So
Bowtech, if you live in the Eugene Springfield area, is a place to go.
Yeah, definitely. Yep, they got some good stuff.
Or online. Go back online.
Sure.
That would make sense.
Yeah, if you don't find your size in any one of those shops. You
know, yeah, well, I did, and they make great gifts because I ordered a couple shirts for my father-in-law. And
did he like them?
No, dude, they loved it. They were like, "Where'd you get this at?" And then let me tell you a story. You know,
yeah,
I know the guy personally.
Yeah.
So they're very excited to get something that's I wouldn't say it's a one off, but it's very unique because there's not a lot of that they've seen. So
right,
we got the elk tent, obviously.
Yeah, that's been a good seller.
Oh God,
yeah.
I was like, God, I wish I hunted so I could wear that.
Yeah, so that kind of brings up another part of our business. So we have another business called Black Timber Graphics.
Oh, okay.
And that's something you and I haven't talked about a whole lot.
No, I know nothing.
But Black Timber Graphics is, you know, we're at, you know, obviously www.blacktimbergraphics.com.
Oh, that's why I haven't seen it.
But that's more of our third-party printing. We do printing for other businesses.
Mm.
And then in addition to that, we're going to start offering some other designs and graphics, more just hiking, camping. You know, we're going to start entering some other niches. So that's Black Timber Graphics. That's currently up and running as well.
When did that come on?
That's been, we kind of had a placeholder there, just that website. And it's been kind of generic, but we're improving that as we speak. So it's been up there for about 8 months, but we're going to be.
Wow. Okay.
We've had some sales off of that. I mean, we've been printing for quite a few local companies, schools, you know, before the whole COVID thing.
Right.
Yeah. So
like jerseys and stuff or like
shirts, you know, like PE shirts.
Oh, right.
And then actually we also were actually printing a bunch of masks too for some school districts. So
like with the school,
just for the faculty. So the faculty that are currently still working at a school district, they have rules and regulations. You know, they got to have a mask on if they're in the office place. We've been printing some custom masks for.
Yeah. You guys, I mean, example. I knew that you guys started that like, mm-hmm. transitioned right into that when it was like, well, these are going to be around for a while. So
good move. Yeah. So, I mean, we're just, you know, there's lots of opportunity out there. We're just trying to capitalize on as much as we can with what we got right now. So it's going good. We're, like I said, we're still learning a lot. We're making a lot of first timer business mistakes, but you know, we're learning from them. So,
well, let's not get lost on the fact that you're still doing this with a forehead machine, right? Like
our manual, our screen printing manual.
Yeah.
Yeah, our manual machines.
And that's why
four station, four color.
Why the gun show's out, because you got to pull all that.
Yeah, you noticed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you notice?
Yeah, it's not just the right hand that's bigger, it's both of them.
I thought that vein was always there on the radius in the ulna region. No.
That's no joke. That's hard work.
We have some other machinery in there though that can do custom one-offs like that Tensine. That's actually done on our direct to garment printer.
I would say that'd be really hard to pull that. Like,
yeah, that's there's like 12 colors in that.
Yeah, so clean too.
Yeah, 12. There's at least 12 colors in that.
Yeah, worth it. Worth it.
Yeah, we've invested some money into some equipment that will help us do those one-offs. So
embroidery on the way.
It's on the horizon. We definitely want it. Nate's hands are so small and dexterous. He could almost do it.
That's a big ask.
Had two carpal tunnel surgeries in the past, just for the, 100 words per minute will only, you only got so much mileage out of hands. Yeah.
Something to be said for the fast typers, that's for sure. Which hunt and peck is always the way I would go about it.
No, but it's definitely on the horizon for sure.
Wow. you're gonna have to get a shop. Like, you're gonna have to move.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Flat gonna run out of room.
Yeah. No, that's gonna happen. And then, you know,
well,
sky's the limit after that, hopefully.
I don't know if it's good news, but there should be a lot of space available here in the next couple of months because everybody else is going out of business. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know about the shirt printing, but I meant like in general, like office space is going to become pretty.
Industrial, you know, real estate's not doing the same thing that residential is right now.
Yeah, that's true. By any means.
Residential is off the hook.
Yeah.
But, you know, like office space, industrial type stuff.
Yeah. Everyone's working from home.
They're kind of suffering. So if we found the right deal, yeah, we'd probably jump on that. But, you know, this room's actually looking pretty appealing right now. We could probably get a couple embroidery machines up in here.
Just have it running in the background.
That wouldn't disrupt anything.
Well, we haven't woke the kid up yet, so I think we're doing pretty good.
No, she's good.
I haven't heard. I can't hear anything anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at to date, and it's been a lot of fun, and we still got goals, and yeah, we're excited to hit them.
Yeah, well, yeah, go check out
your podcast is going to need some swag. I can tell you that.
What, the poster's not enough? Just one poster?
No, I'm just shirts, hats.
Oh yeah, for real. Sure,
need something.
Stickers.
Absolutely. Scratch and sniff.
I do have a Praying Man sticker. I see we get stickers in every order. You get a couple stickers, so.
That was probably just for you. I don't send those out all the time.
Well, maybe. Depending who it is. You could be, it's like the golden ticket. Like, you don't know. It might just be slipped into one bag.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends. A lot of that's on, you know, depending on what we have in inventory. You know, if we're fat on some stickers, yeah, I'll slap one in there, but.
Sure. I just can't believe
you're selling a shirt for $12.99 free shipping. No sticker. No.
I just can't believe you have blanks just laying around and then they order it and then you print it.
We got lots.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
Yeah. The other thing too is I write a little note, handwritten.
I did get that.
In cursive. That goes on every order.
That has gone every order.
It takes like an extra 30 seconds because my cursive it's better than my.
Right. Well, that's what they trained us was you're going to write everything in cursive when you're older. And now it's right. Like, no, don't write in cursive. They can't read it.
Right, right. And it's just like a nice little touch because, I mean, really, we are thankful for every order.
Sure.
And it's not every note is not the same. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So like if Anthony ordered something, I would write something different.
Maybe a sticker.
You know what, Anthony? I don't think you have ordered anything, come to think of it. He said he was, too, because he made a delivery at my house. He's going to listen to this, so this is good.
Yeah, he will.
I did not see an order.
Oh, boy. You still have time.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna text him. Like, maybe
I just thought of
tonight.
That. I don't know why I just thought of that. And yes, Emily, we do offer things that are not in camo.
We have a lot of not in camo. You don't sell any camo, really.
Very little.
No.
Just like hoodies.
Oh, I don't think I've seen those.
Yeah.
I did have another question. This guy, Chad, you know Chad Conway, I think he's actually ordered some stuff, so he might be.
I do know Chad.
Yeah.
I know of Chad. Chad has ordered.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chad. If this was a race, Anthony, Chad's winning.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see here.
Talking to your microphone.
I'm trying to find.
Thank you.
Trying to find. He didn't do a voicemail, unfortunately. I wish he would have. But
yeah, this is fun. I mean, like, the business is only 2 years old, right? So we're very much in the infancy of the business.
Right.
And it's super exciting. This kind of stuff is also really exciting.
Okay.
So we're still getting the name out there.
So this is the last question that I have for you. This is from Chad, and he was curious, what do you think of
You have to talk like Chad, by the way.
I don't
when you say this.
I don't know how Chad really talks. Like,
Chad doesn't have a lisp. Why would you do that?
What do you think of the new draw system for over in Oregon over on the east side? I don't know anything
about it. It's a very heated topic.
Yeah, I think that's probably why he asked it, because I know nothing about this. So I want to hear your answer to that.
Man, there's so much to it. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, Chad, it means less opportunity for archery hunters, which I'm definitely disappointed in that we went that way. It's probably going to go that way in 2022 for elk, if not that, the following year. It used to be, Kyle, that archery hunting, you could go hunt the east side of the state for mule deer.
Okay.
And you might be over there hunting for a weekend for elk, and didn't matter what unit you were in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you came home to the west side, you'd be able to hunt, you know, blacktail if you weren't successful in the late season. So now the ODFW is making you choose.
Oh, no.
If you're going to hunt mule deer or if you're going to hunt blacktail on the west side.
So you only get one draw then.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. So it's a controlled hunt now. So you have to apply to hunt mule deer, and it's just for early season.
Wow.
And it's I guess that's not really what frustrates me the most. One of the caveats when they were trying to push this thing through is they're worried about mule deer numbers, you know, population numbers.
Sure.
And so they thought this would, you know, facilitate that and by offering less tags. Well, I looked at the tags. The 2021 regs came out, and it's a lot of mule deer tags. There's a ton of mule deer archery tags that are still offered over there as controlled hunts.
Yeah.
So it kind of just, that's not really what they're getting at. It's kind of a death by a thousand cuts as far as I'm concerned.
Hmm.
You know, they're not, this is a huge topic, man. I mean, it takes in like predators, you know, wolves.
I've heard about
cougars,
the wolves.
Bears.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, there is a, Born and Raised did a podcast with Wayne Endicott. Wayne Endicott, the owner of the Bow Rack over in Springfield.
Mm. Oh, I know the Bow Rack, yeah.
Very knowledgeable guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ingrained with all this stuff. He sits on some boards.
Oh.
And Wayne goes to a lot of these meetings, ODFW meetings.
Yeah.
You should look up that podcast. They have a very good discussion about this and the implications of what this will do.
Like break it down for the...
Yeah, it's an hour and a half. Whoa. And they got data and statistics, and you should check that out if you haven't.
For me to check it out?
Well, you and, you know.
I mean, Chad should check it out.
Chad, yeah, he may have seen it.
That sounds like a lot of jargon to me because I don't know what any of that is, but.
Yeah, sorry.
to the avid hunter, yeah, it would probably be very important for you guys to check that out because.
It's definitely worth the listen.
And then he did have a little follow-up. This one might be more simple to answer. That's not such a vast vast question. Also, what is your experience with rattling success for blacktail here in the valley? I don't know what that is either. Is that like rattling antlers together?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So rattling's a calling technique.
You don't want me out there with the duck?
Yeah. So there's, you know, you can use, there's actually deer calls, you know, grunts and doe calls, bleats. And then certain times of the year, rattling can be really, you know, successful. And that's basically, I call it tickling of the antlers.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not just antlers. Like they make different, like there's rattle bags and other products that sound like, you know, horns clashing. And you are trying to simulate, you know, two bucks fighting, which generally is in the deer world signifies there's a hot doe in the area because two bucks are fighting over a hot doe.
Right.
And so that any buck that mature buck doesn't even have to be mature buck,
but
that's within ear range. He kind of hears that and he's like, aha, there's a little action going on over there. You know,
go show these young whippersnappers.
Yeah. I'm going to go over here and check this out. And so it can be really, really effective.
Have you had a lot of success with it?
I have.
Really?
I have, yeah. It varies where you're at in the region. So he said in the valley, right?
Yeah, like here.
Right. So
I think that's what that
meant. The tough thing, I think rifle hunters have the best opportunity to rattle in deer because our late archery season doesn't kick in until November in the valley here.
Yeah.
And I think you're kind of catching the tail end of the prime rattling season. That's not to say that it can't happen, but I think muzzleloaders and rifle hunters actually have the best opportunity to rattle in deer. I know guys that have done it. That pre-rut is really good.
Mm.
So October 15th, you know, to that third week of October. I don't know why rifle hunters don't do it more often, to be honest. I just Maybe because they don't have to.
Well, I'm not a hunter, so I'm going to take a shot in the dark here and say because rifle hunters are probably lazier than bow hunters.
That's not true. That's definitely not true. Oh, okay. I mean that's a stereotype probably.
Right.
I know a lot of really good rifle hunters and muzzleloader hunters.
No.
But there's also a lot because there's more of them,
And I'm
by default, like, there's going to be some people out there that drive around in a truck and look for that one.
I'm a decent shot, so I feel like I would be a decent rifle hunter, but there's no way in hell I would be a good bow hunter. I mean, you can't just take a bow and go into the woods and kill one like right now. It's not going to happen.
Right.
That takes you guys, I mean, practice.
Yeah.
Scouting. I mean, I know Chad, I know you guys spend more time scouting than you do hunting.
Yeah. So the valley is kind of interesting. I think our deer come into rut early. Mm. You know, if you were to go up in higher elevation, what I would consider mountain deer, you know, up towards the Pacific Crest Trail.
Like, what are we talking? Like 3,000, 4,000 feet?
4,000 feet. Yeah. Those deer rut late. I've rattled in bucks, you know, well into December up there.
So you're saying if you want to do rattling, getting out of the valley is going to be a better bet for you?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if it's depending on what time of year it is.
Right.
I've also rattled bucks in late down here, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare.
Success is up.
I think a lot of it also has to do with, you know, buck to doe ratios. If you're an area with that has a hot doe in it, like you could get lucky and just hop out of the truck, walk a quarter mile, you're in a patch of timber, and you rattle the horns, and all of a sudden, you might have two or three bucks run in.
Yeah.
You know, you're within earshot of a hot doe that has multiple bucks. That happens quite a bit. You'll have one or two hot does in a patch of timber, and there'll be five or six bucks in there. There's just not, it just really depends. Our blacktail deer population is so dynamic, and it changes. It could change within 10 miles. It's really unique. A lot of it has to do with habitat and densities.
Right.
So the more bucks you have in an area, the more successful rattling will be.
Right.
Well, you know, by default.
Yeah.
So.
And are we rattling like the sheds you guys go find when you're doing your pre-hunt stuff and
all that
scouting?
If you have a set of sheds, you know, you can definitely do that.
Yeah. Because I see
very effective. Nothing really sounds better than the real thing. They're just kind of a pain to pack around.
Yeah, they're sharp. Some of them I've seen.
A lot of guys don't want to, you know, like chisel the eye guards off of a horn. Those are generally will get you on the knuckle when you're like bashing them together. Yeah. You know?
Getting all crazy with it.
A lot of it has to do with, I was reprimanded by Jake this year.
Oh, no way. You got reprimanded?
Evidently, I rattled a little too rough. It was too fierce. I was just over there. You know, brush was flying. I was rolling around, steamroller. Squashed about half a dozen chanterelles, mushrooms.
Oh, no.
No, I'm teasing, but.
Blasphemies.
So Jake looks over at me. We were hunting together, and he's like, kind of gives me this look like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, rattling, man. I'm doing this right? Jake's from Wisconsin. Very accomplished whitetail guy.
Yeah.
And he's a good hunter. He's killed a lot of blacktails too. And then we meet up after that sequence and he's like, yeah, I never rattle that hard. Like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, that was way too rough. Like, okay, sorry. It's pretty funny. All the years we've been hunting together, he finally says that. He's like, that was too rough.
Did it happen last year?
That was this year.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't take it anymore.
I'm like, I'm sorry, man. This is what I've always done. It's kind of worked sometimes.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you have some results out of it, so.
Ah, he was.
That's a crazy thing with hunting. Funny. Hunting and anything you do in general, like I feel like there's so many different ways things can be done. Like, it's whatever works. Like, it can really work for you, but it's a lot of luck. Like, killing an animal, like, I know.
Right.
A lot of work goes into it, but it also comes down to just, like, luck of the day, the weather, so many things.
Yeah, there's so many variables. Yeah, so if there was a deer, hypotheticals, 500 yards away.
Yeah.
If I don't rattle hard, he might not hear me.
Right.
If I rattle soft, he won't hear me. Yeah. You know, like, what do you do? So
that's not a big enough fight. I'm not going to mess with that. Like,
yeah, you know. It's just a lot of ingredients that go into that equation. stuff.
Well, that's just a funny hunting little in general, but that was a good question. I'm glad I read that last part, the shortest part, but the Oregon law stuff doesn't surprise me that it sucks, because
that's a really big topic that probably wouldn't,
you guys,
I probably wouldn't do it justice.
You guys have been talking about different things like that, like when it comes into like what you can do, what you can't do, where you can hunt, where you can hunt, like they're really putting the pinch on you guys as far as like taking away land that you can go on and hunt. I feel like, from what I can hear.
Yeah, I would say Oregon, like we are blessed with a really long archery season, more so than other states. You know, we have, you know, right, a month, which is not the case in some of these other northwestern states to archery hunt for elk, right?
That's crazy, because I'm used to duck hunting, and a month sounds very short.
Right. Partly, yeah. Big game like elk hunting, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll take
your word for it.
Yeah, but it's it just seemed like the moves they made this year unnecessary, and it wasn't necessarily based on science, you know, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So if you checked out that podcast that I mentioned with Born and Raised in Wayne at the BORAC, they cite all the science and stuff over there. So
That might be a good one to check out.
Yeah, if you're interested in that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure Chad is, but I like the rattling explanation. That helped me, because when I read that, I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty comical. I mean, like, there are some guys that get really crazy with rattling. Like, it's funny to watch.
No,
blood's drawn. They draw their own blood. They rattle so hard.
They're so focused on
somersaults, and just they're trying to make brush move and raking up leaves and breaking branches, and it's... We might do a segment on that.
Oh, yeah. These days.
It's pretty funny.
Like someone from the theater comes out to go hunting, and they just like totally go for the full
sale. Yeah, like an interpretive dance, kind of just twirling. And
So
I am the mighty buck.
So that's funny, because that leads into the question I had, was like, what?
Clashing horns.
You go out in the woods by yourself. You go out with your family. Like, what is the no, yeah. Uh-oh. We might have to fill that back up. After this question, what have you seen anything out there that's just kind of like you can't really explain? Like, is there something that's just been like rather than hunting, like something weird?
You talking about Squatch?
No. Okay. UFOs are going to be real here in about 180 days. There's a lot of information coming out. Like, have you seen anything that would allude to like ghosts?
UFOs, anything
out of the
ordinary here? That's a lot to unpack.
Well, have you seen anything or not? Like, I believe it in or not, like, is there anything that's just like, ooh, that creeped me out, I don't like that, I'm going to get out of here? Or, I mean, people are ultimately the scariest thing. Don't get me wrong. Like, that to me, at least, that would be.
I'd say a little bit of all of that, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, people.
Yeah.
I've ran into some weird people.
Yeah, that would be my biggest
weird
fear.
Encounters.
Because you have a bow and they have whatever they have, which is probably not a bow. Poachers.
My wife has a pretty weird story where she was with her dad, and they were a long ways away from any kind of improved road. Early morning, fog. They're a mile back in on this logging road.
Yeah.
And they hear somebody like talking to themselves. And this guy, I'm pretty sure he didn't have a shirt on. And this is a cold, dewy morning in Western Oregon. He's tripping on something, and he's just like, he's in the woods. He's walking through the woods and doesn't know where he's at.
Whoa.
And he's on some kind of trip. That kind of freaked him out.
Yeah.
You know, he just walked right by him. They walked right by him like they weren't even there.
Did he see them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was pretty... Well, that's kind of a weird one.
It's like one thing if you like hid and waited till he like passed by.
Yeah.
But then like,
I mean, but you know, what's that guy doing up there? It's just off. He's just, yeah. Yeah. And that was kind of a weird one. I know a lot of loggers that have some weird Squatch stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know, guys that don't, they don't like make stuff up, you know.
Straight shooters.
There you go. Straight shooters. So I've heard some of those. One that comes to mind, like right off the top of my head, is we had an antelope hunt in first part of August in Southeast Oregon, and in the desert. There was five or six of us on this archery tag, and we were camped out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
You know, and sagebrush, beautiful country.
Oh, I bet.
Beautiful sky, super clear, right? No lights, no city lights.
Stars for days.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And there was, I don't know how to describe it. So one of the guys was like, whoa, what's that? You know, check that out. And we're outside. It's, you know, 10:30, 11 at night, you know, because it doesn't get dark till 9.
Yeah.
You know, you come in from hunting and it's 8:30, 9 o'clock. Sure. So after you have dinner and everything, you're ready to hit the sack. And it was pretty late. Beautiful sky. I don't know if this was like a military, like firefight practice.
Ooh.
Or, you know, dogfight.
Yeah.
There was no sound, though, is what was really weird. And if, I guess the best way to describe it is, you know, like when a jet takes off from a landing, you just see that red glow.
Yeah. Afterburners.
Afterburners, whatever. Yeah. So it was, you would see one of those for like 2 or 3 seconds, maybe two of them together.
Whoa.
And then, but it, these had to be really high because we hear no sound.
Right. Well, if they're in space, then if it's that clear, you could probably see space. Right, like,
but then they would show up. It was like they were almost, I don't know, like transporting from one. I don't know how a machine could have moved that fast.
That's because a lot of the stories are that way.
Because you'd see one over here, you know, like to the north,
yeah,
and then you'd see that a couple of those like red glow like bursts,
yeah.
And I assume they're fighter pilots or fighter jets,
right?
But then you'd see it. Again, like to the south.
It's way too far away.
20, 30 miles in a matter of, it seemed like that. Now, granted, there's no science. I'm not very good at, you know, guessing distance, but it was a long, I disagree. Long ways.
I think if you're a bow hunter, you have to be good at
long ways. And my buddy, Matt, that was there, we were both just kind of like, dude, this went on for about 5 minutes. And it went all over the sky, the horizon.
Because you're sitting there watching, just like...
And you couldn't hear a thing. So was it multiple... I mean, it could have been multiple planes. It was... I know that the military does testing down in that part of the state because there's nobody out there, just right. As far as, you know, fighter jets and whatnot.
Sure.
But I just didn't understand why we couldn't hear anything because it was super quiet and they were so fast. So fast.
Well, yeah. Well, like a zigzag though, right? Like it'd be
all over.
And then boom and then down and then over and...
Yeah, it was interesting.
Well, that's I think they call that hyperdrive or something like that. Like that's
B speed? Yeah. B speed on Excitebike?
There's just I mean that story sounds a lot like a lot of the stories that I've heard. I listen to a lot of the UFO, like I'm interested in it. So like
I am too, and I'm still
never
not.
Heard anybody actually say they've seen anything worth like that's a good story.
My brother has a really good story too, out at my folks' place.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. I love it out there, but it is creepy. I would not want to be out there alone in the dark.
Yeah, he's got another weird one, but
that happened to him.
Yeah, he was outside and he seen something.
A UFO or a Sasquatch?
No, not Sasquatch.
No,
I'm not sold on that.
I know Sasquatchy. I want to be. I'm kind of like with 90% of the other people that think that there is. It's like that would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. That's a deep.
But it's so vast out there, dude. Like, I mean, you go out and you don't even scratch the surface of like getting way, way, way out there. Like,
right.
You're still off of a road at some point, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you think of everybody in the woods, all the thousands of hunters every year, or just people out there recreating.
Yeah,
like why hasn't anybody came across the bones, right?
Yeah. And they go to places that aren't accessible to, like, you want to go.
We're getting deep now.
Spelunking in the caves.
Spelunking, yeah.
I don't have the gear for that. No, I know, but the UFO stuff, very fascinating to me. So that's a good story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. There's.
How old was your brother when that one happened to him?
Jeff was in high school.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a while ago.
Mm-hmm. His was totally different.
I bet it was.
Yeah, because the house out there, you know, it's like kind of in a pretty steep drainage.
Mm, yeah.
You know, you got
the hillside,
a ridge
right there.
Yeah, you got a ridge on the east side and a ridge on the west side. That creek runs north and south.
And then it opens up like away from your guys' house.
Yeah, he saw something span from north to, I don't know if it was north to south or south to north, but basically skyline.
Yeah.
You know, so it was relatively low because he didn't see it for very long. Like glowing.
Hmm.
And he thought it was a satellite at first.
Like, that's really low.
But it was big. He said it was weird.
Yeah, man.
Jeff is a straight shooter.
Yeah. I don't even think he'd believe in that kind of stuff anyway.
Unless Dad put like extra chlorine in the hot tub that night. I don't know if that would mess with you, but man, I'm like, geez, Louise, that one's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them like that.
I don't know. Anyhow.
Well, what do you think? I think we got it here. It's been hour 15 of quality conversation.
Yeah. I don't know if we brought much value.
I do say the time has flown by, though. That is for sure.
Yeah, it does go fast. Yeah. It's a good conversation, normally does.
Any last, what's the website again? People can go check out your
new gear. Yeah, so it's preyingman.com, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G.
Okay.
Man.com. That's all of our hunting stuff. But we also, you know, if you have any needs for your business or, you know, family gatherings, probably not so much now, but...
We'll be back.
High school sports, whatever. I mean, anything you'd need shirts printed for, we also facilitate that stuff as well.
It's custom orders.
Exactly. Yep.
I like it.
Yeah. Hopefully, I appreciate the opportunity. Love to get back on here sometime and chat it up. Hopefully, we don't have to, you know, wait 6 months to see each other again. It'd be great.
I don't think it's going to be that long.
Me neither. I'm coming earlier next time because somebody's getting a hug. She knows who that is.
Yeah. She's like,
that's bogus.
Ooh, it's 8:30. I better get in bed.
That is bogus. She probably heard me drive up. She's like, God, John's so creepy. I don't want to hug me.
She's like, no, I took the dog.
thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming. See you guys next time. Thank you.